If you love the podcast and you want other valuable tools, resources, and coaching that will ignite the fire in you to go to the next level, then look, make sure you jump on the other various platforms we have. Absolutely, our YouTube channel, Alex Ranieri. And in there, you'll find the opportunity to have different coaching and resources and tools and tips, including our podcast episodes in video form, which a lot of people get value from too. But make sure you have a look at everything that we have to offer. High Performance Father is something that is a phenomenal movement that I'm very proud of. It's something that I love in this message that continually grows, and it grows in more fashions and ways than just the podcast. But I appreciate you tuning into this podcast with a couple of 100,000 downloads now. It's just incredible. So thank you very much. Enjoy this episode, but make sure you do go and use the other tools and the other valuable resources that we have.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the All In Podcast, where we talk about what it's like to be a man navigating through the modern day world. A man as a father, a man as a husband, and a man as a man in society in 2023. Welcome to the show. My name is Lintrin, and this is my co-host, Alex Ranieri. Together, Al and Lin makes All In, hence the name All In. So Alex, how have you been, my friend?
Good, brother. Good. All in on life when it comes to family time, actually. Just came back from a holiday in Fiji, which was a nice recharge, mate. Yeah.
How long did you go for?
Really good. I think we were away for 10 days in total.
And where'd you go? Fiji?
In Fiji, one of the smaller islands is quite nice, called Jean-Michel Cousteau. It's like they have 25 really authentic burets, which is like the huts, and so very secluded, man, very authentic. Not that other places aren't, but you're in there with the natives, right? It's awesome. And the people were great. They just, you know, the best part was, mate, we had a nanny for each kid. So round the clock, all day, we had the nannies looking after the kids, and they loved them.
How was that? Well, what's that? Do you have a nanny at the home at the moment? Do you and Corinne have a nanny?
No. So I think that's the next step, though, because we got home a couple of days ago, and we're like, what do we do? The kids are hassling us. Where are the nannies?
So can't put them to bed.
We're trying to poach them. Steal
the nanny is probably the best investment ever. I've got Joni, who does 3 days a week with us because I was at kindy 2 days. Best investment of my life because I get Kerry back and we just have a blast. Yeah. I've just brought Kerry back to work actually with that time. So Kerry's working on stuff. Fiji sounds exciting. Anything really cool, fun? How's the weather?
Weather was good mix. It's like, I guess, I don't know if it's typical coastal, but the clouds would roll in. There'd be rain almost every day. But
what's the weather like? Is it humid?
Sun was amazing too. A little bit humid, not as bad as places like Thailand, but it was definitely warm. When it rained, we had a good hit of mozzies. That was a bit of a punish.
Oh, the mozzies. And
they got Lillian, poor thing. She had a hole in a net, so we had nets over our bed and beds and a hole in a net, and she got nailed, poor little thing. But
how many bugs did you get? Dude, that's me and Kerry's worst nightmare here, is like living on the ocean, so that we get tons of mozzies coming by. And so, I've been slapping them against the wall. I've got like bloodstains of mosquitoes on the wall.
They're the one thing in the world, man, that I actually don't mind killing. Like, I'll go out of my way if it's more convenient to just open a door and shoo a fly out, or get an ant that's crawling on me and blow it off you go into the garden. Like, I'm not one that might sound silly to some people, I don't know, but for mozzies anyway, man, what value do they provide the world? There's not enough meat on them for any spider or insect to eat them. I could be wrong, but they seem to provide zero value to the world. Back,
you ought to watch The Lion King, the circle of life, my friend. These mozzies are part of the ecosystem. Don't know, but you take them out, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So Fiji, that's great. You left me with the business. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Man. So I've been running Alex's show while he's been away. It's been very interesting, very, very interesting, which is probably another discussion that we're going to have on another podcast where at one time, well, let's talk about business. But before we get in, what we want to do is, I was talking to Alex and I was saying, hey, we need to have some sort of a structure of this show because both you and I can talk shit for hours. And the problem with talking shit for hours is that we talk shit for hours, which is cool and fun. However, with this show, what we want to do is, or what I want to do specifically, is kind of have a voice for men in Australia, and have a voice for men who want to be great fathers, have a voice for men who want to be great husbands, have a voice for men who want to build great families and leave a legacy. And right now we're kind of at odds with the world, you know. It's really confusing on what the fuck a man is. It's really confusing on what a woman is. It's confusing on what, you know, Kerry's confused because she's a mum at the moment, and she's confused whether or not she should be back working. Like, she doesn't feel like she's got a role working. I'm sure Corinne feels that way, right? Which is why she went back to teaching, which is why she's a teacher. It's really confusing, man. It's really hard to navigate. Like, I don't even know what it's like to be a man. And so as I'm navigating through my thought process and principles, hopefully we can share some shit with you guys. Hopefully Alex can impart his wisdom. You know, 37 years of age, got three kids. I'm 33. I've got two. Did I tell you? Me and Kerry are going to have more kids.
I think you said 6 or 16, one of those
well,
two.
I can't remember. I said, look, Kerry, I said, if we aim for 10, then like 6 will be easy. I think the thing that I was finding two really hard. At some point, I was like, I don't want to have any more. And the reasons why, this is a really funny, interesting revelation. The reason why was I allowed the outside world to listen to everybody else. And they were like, no, 2's so hard. Imagine, and 3, people dying with 3. You're dying with 3. Other people dying with 3. They go, no, you can't have more. And I'm like, wait a second. A generation ago, our parents had like, I come from a family of 6. And I'd like to think if my dad could do it, at least I got to get to that level. At least I have that in me. And so I just thought, look, quite often, like we lower our standards because the people around us can't bear to have kids. Like now you see most people don't want to have kids. They can't even buy a house. You know what I mean? Let alone have kids. So I feel like the standard in society is dropping, this level of responsibility. And as soon as I came back to that frame of mind, I'm like, cool, we're going to have a lot more kids. We have to, because, man, you and I both know, in 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, when we're old, the only thing that we're going to have is our grandchildren and their parties. And we're going to sit back and we're going to be like, yo, we created this. It's fucking amazing.
100%, you know, man. I've had a vasectomy. We still do have some frozen embryos. I'm not sure if I mentioned on the first episode, but yeah, we did IVF. We had a lot of ups and downs and challenges. Our limiting factor is because of Corinne's pelvis and how it's, you know, from a bone point of view, skeletally structured. She had to have cesareans. We nearly lost Stella on the first
one. You can't have more than 3, right?
Nah, fourth cesarean, Corinne could bleed out and die.
That's crazy.
But also I know what you're saying, man. You know what? One thing I will say, as hard as it has been going from 2 to 3, it's like everything what you're exposed to, but I've never, ever shunned anyone from wanting to have children. Anytime anyone says, I want to have 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm like, man, awesome. Like everything comes at an investment, a cost.
Yeah,
and whatnot. They're the gift, man. They're the greatest thing.
Oh, man, bro, like just before, after we got off the meeting, literally went upstairs. So funnily enough with kids, I found out like they drain you physically. So our batteries are dead physically, right? But emotionally, I'm so full. I'm like, whereas with work, emotionally, I'm like drained because I'm like, fuck, like this mental capacity just brings me right down, right? It's so dry. It's so hard. It's like grindy work that we have to get through. It's called work, right? And I get back up. I see Alice. I carry him for a bit. Starts laughing. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm so full. You know, it's instant. So whilst they, like, we joke quite often that kids drain us physically because, man, I'm battered. Like, I wake up, I'm sore in places, I'm inflamed, I walk like an old person. But then emotionally, they give you something. And so my thought process is this. I haven't regretted having 2 kids. And I think, you know, like, Atlas right now is like, he's like my best friend in the world. You know what I mean? Like, he's the most amazing thing. And I go, wow, like, imagine having a best friend that you could imagine. I didn't have him. Like, I wouldn't even have known that this friendship existed, this feeling existed. And it's kind of the way I think about kids. I think the next one's going to be even more of a best friend. And it's going to be hard. Like, it's hard now, but I feel like later on when I'm 50, 60, 70, I'm not going to regret it. And this isn't to say, hey, if you can't, like, if you don't want to have kids, that's completely fine. This is just what I want to do, because I realize at the end of the time, I realize I'm not going to think about how much money I made at the end. I'm not going to care. I'm going to be like, oh, I spent $1 million here, $1 million there. Fuck. Like, that's not what I'm going to regret. I feel like when I'm on my deathbed, I just want to have my family around me, and I just want to feel that last breath with them. That's all. And so if we're truly talking about reverse engineering, I think that ends up going, well, if I only have 2 kids and Kerry, then like, I don't know, would it be cooler with 6 kids and then their grandkids and the whole pack? That would be awesome. So selfishly, that's my goal, just to create fulfillment at the end of my life. But there was another thing that I saw, interesting enough, Patrick Bet-David, Valuetainment, he actually did a study, which he said, you know, who's the happiest? Who's the happiest? And he did a study, and it was a proper study. You know, are you going to be happier with kids? Should you have kids? Shouldn't you have kids? There was an argument. And it was putting out the fact that women that are married with kids are happier than women that don't have kids. And the older that they get, women as they get older are less happier, and women that have kids as they get older are slightly are like three times as happy as the women that don't have kids. And I found that very, very interesting. I think it's worth linking and going into that because he presents a really good argument. And then his argument was like, he's just like, kids are so hard, but anything that comes good is hard. And I agree wholeheartedly with that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, man. That's the most valuable investment I think you'll ever make in life because of the energy source they bring. Like a Louis Vuitton bag isn't going to be cuddling the 60-year-old power boss lady at night when she's old, right?
Your Rolex isn't going to mean shit to you, bro. You know, my watches aren't going to mean shit to me.
Yeah. I saw a video actually on that note. Yeah. Sorry, just to expand on that, Jordan Peterson, and he said, and this is true, and it's nothing against my wife or against Kerry with you, but he said, children naturally want to have the best relationship possible with you. And he's like, that's an opportunity, man, that you will not get from anyone else at any other time, because obviously there's a window because children become adults and they grow up. And I watched that video a few times. I'll send you after this, man. And I showed Corinne, and we both actually got quite emotional last night because we've just come back from spending so much time with them. We're like, you know what, man, nothing, of course, money's important. Other things are important, but nothing else fucking matters as much as family. And your children are the ones on this world. Not that Corinne doesn't love me. We've got an amazing relationship, but children who are your own blood, looking into your eyes, want to have the best bond and connection with you possible. And that's an opportunity, man, that you can't waste, Lynn. And I feel like our house is so much fuller. Even when Roman was a surprise, because he was an IVF, going from two to three, we felt so much more fuller. So I definitely know what you mean about having more kids too.
It's just better, right? You can't imagine life without Roman. I'm still going to go back to that as well, because I think, like, you know, the video that you sent me, which is like, you know, kids are the most important thing. I absolutely agree that they're super important, but I actually think like it's, you got to have all the pieces of the puzzle together. It's like a pie that if you don't have a piece, it's not incomplete. So you might have kids, but you don't have your health, right? You're like, you don't have your health. So health is, we can fundamentally say without our health, we can't do anything. Also too, if you don't have money, I'm going to ruffle a few feathers with this, but if you don't have money, then you don't have a foundation to live in this materialistic world like that we call society. And society is actually driven by money. Like, you know, the core thing that keeps society running is money. And so if you don't have that, it's kind of like you're not having air. You're not having air to breathe in. You don't have money. You don't have choices. You don't have options. You can't do anything. Your life, you can only get so far inside of your life in the world. If you choose to play in the world, that is, if you live in a civilized country that chooses to communicate, how we actually communicate with each other through money. We transact every day with money. Okay, your bills, the meat, the groceries that you're buying, we're constantly transacting with this thing called money. So that's really important. If you live in uncivilized situations, like if you're in the Amazon and you're a tribe and you have a different way to share shit, then the money is not important. It's actually like figuring out how to share stuff. But money is actually important as well. I look at this both ways, you know. If I'm a billionaire but I don't have kids, I'm not fulfilled. But at the same time, if I do have kids, but I haven't actually successfully produced, knowing that these kids are going to be okay in the next, whether or not I give them the money or the skills or both to take on the next generation, I also don't feel fulfilled too. Like, there's a part of me that's like, I'm going to die and my responsibility was to keep you guys safe and to continue. Okay. I suppose, what's the existence of life? It's to reproduce. Okay, to go through this life, to have kids. And when you have kids, you realize what's the point of life? And the point of life is to have kids and to keep it going. The point of life is to keep life going. I genuinely think that's the point. So when we keep life going, what we're trying to do is, you know, if it disappears on my watch, then I have to figure out how to keep it going. We have to breed. We have to keep it going. That's the point. The lion wants to be the strongest so he can make babies with the lioness to keep his DNA going, right? Like that's his point. That's at our core. And so, just moving into that, I don't know. I have a different take. I have a different take where I think it's all the whole pieces. You can't have one without the other. You know, you can't raise kids really, really well without having a good marriage. That's one of my strong beliefs, that a good marriage is actually going to elevate how you raise your children. Not to say that divorced people aren't raising good kids, but you can do so much better as a team than alone.
Yeah. So, no, I agree with that, man. I do. Yeah. And I, you know, when I talk about our children being everything, like the video I shared with you yesterday, when I look at success with my children as being my children want to be around me when they're adults, that's a lag measure where I truly believe the lead measures are 100% what you said, good health, good finances in order to create leverage with time and with experiences and a good foundation to raise children, marriage. 100% agree. I would see them as my leads to the lag of being, okay, cool, I am successful because I got this. Just like if you had six kids but you've got the financial leverage to buy back time and create experiences, those six will have a phenomenal upbringing compared to maybe one that's neglected in a broken home.
Well, definitely so. Bro, I'm telling you this right now, like I wouldn't even consider having more kids if I didn't have my finances sorted. And what I mean by sorted is if I didn't know what I need to do to make more money and produce, okay? 100%. Like, and this is where you and I kind of differ, right? Because I actually had kids after, like, I was kind of financially stable. I had a company, I had millions of dollars. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, we have kids now and it's easier. Most people have kids when they're broke or, like, when they aren't financially stable. And I think that's the fucking hardest thing in the world. And you've been there, right? Because you had your three kids, you had your gyms, you had no money, you were in debt. And we talk about that as being like the unicorn. And I'm like, yeah, but that, like, I don't know. If you, a piece of advice I'd give to myself is, and something I give to Abs. Abs is 25-year-old, working with me, staying with me at the moment. But piece of advice I give to him is, I'm like, Abs, bro, you got to make sure you get your money situation sorted because it will make shit so much easier for you. You're going to have less arguments with your wife. You're going to have less triggers. You're going to have less things to worry about. You have to figure out, before you get married, you got to get your money situation sorted. Like, figure out how to produce and take care and provide. Because if you fall in love now, like, you might fall in love, you might get married, then it's super hard to kind of like work through it and then like have to figure things out because there's so much more at stake. You can't take as many risks. And because you can't take as many risks, you will not be able to build the businesses that you want to build because you can't take risks. Like, you're like, oh no, I need to stay safe. And the whole point of making shit happen, of being able to do big shit inside of your life is taking bigger risks. Take all the risks that you want to do to now to figure it out. Because when you have your family, you've now got your wife who, women, they need emotional and physical stability, okay, to operate. Kerry, I know that from her. She needs to know that, hey, like, are the kids going to get fed? Where are we going? How, like, can I rely on this guy to make money? Or fuck, do I have to go work? All right. So that was a piece of advice I'd give to Abs and my older self. Now, going through your journey, and we said we're going to have this structured, but I think this is a good take. Going back, what piece of advice would you give to yourself? Like, you know, because you went through the journey of like, man, being dead poor, growing up, not having money, opening a CrossFit gym, going into debt for that, not having any money. Then you had kids and then we worked together. And it took, you know, obviously success is still ongoing and we're never at the end. However, the skills that you've developed now and the amount of money that I see flow through and out of the bank account is probably 10 times as much as you've ever had in your life, right? Or ever seen. You know, we have Amex bills of how much still, bro?
Oh, $250,000 a pop. Yeah, keeps rolling. Like,
but just the levels that you play at. And I say this because I say that level of pressure, $250,000 just in the Amex bill, credit card bill, that would have squashed you. Like, you would have seen that like 5 years ago and you would have just been like, you would have just frozen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now it's like, yo, it is what it is. Keep producing, keep going, get focused. You want to play a bigger game, you're going to have bigger responsibilities. Your payroll is going to be bigger. You have a bigger game. You got more people to feed. Like, so there's just levels to the game. So what advice, like, I don't know, because you went through from this stage where you were trying to figure shit out while you had kids. How tough was that?
Oh, extremely tough, man. I think, like you said, you know, you mentioned the unicorn. I think the unicorn story is me breaking out of this, but what I actually went through is so common. It's what almost everyone does. But being able to get out of the pit, that's the rare case, which very rarely happens. Where, like, if you ask me tomorrow to start HPF with my three kids, the reason, like, it was still hard, but as they, you know, it was stagnated as one came on board, the pressure came, but I matched it. Pressure came and matched it, and that's. That in itself was coupled with obviously the mentality that I have that you're aware of and the courage to take those risks and do it is the reason why I'm here. And
I call you? What's your nickname?
My nickname? You've got a clap, right? You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here. You always said, like, you shouldn't be here, man. what are you doing?
I said, you shouldn't be here. It's fucked. And not a lot of people. I've coached, like, I've probably coached over like 3,000 people. And I'm like going, yeah, there's only a few people that, and a handful that would make it. You're one of them. You shouldn't be here. Why? Because you had kids. That was very difficult. You were in debt. Okay. You had no skills. Like when I first met you, I had no skills.
Have alignment with my marriage.
Like, you know what I mean? You didn't have alignment with your marriage. We got a name for you, bro. It's called the Accidental Millionaire.
Okay. We're gonna write a book, we one day.
We're gonna write a book. The accident, you shouldn't be here. I didn't say this, bro. You shouldn't be here, but you are here. So like the fact that you're here in this realm. What the realm is the realm is you have confidence in your ability to make money regardless of the situation that you're in, because you have some value and skill sets that you've worked on, that you have some value to offer people that people would pay for. Okay. Yeah. Most people now, men, they don't have the confidence inside of the valley because they haven't done shit enough or they haven't solved enough problems. I think you've gotten to a point where you go, hey, I solved this problem really well. I have this skill set. I can sell myself. I can provide a service that can sell myself out of any situation, regardless of the debt. So when we look at the 250K, when you saw that and you sent that to me, what was my reaction?
I'm trying to remember.
Did I freak the fuck out?
Oh yeah, no.
Welcome to the game, my friend, because that's the game that you're going to play at. And a person that has skill sets is going to go, yo, cool, that's fine. What do we have to do? How much more do we have to make? How much? Like, I'm thinking about how much we have to make. And the other mindset is, for most people, is shit. This is so fucked. This is terrifying. This is like, you know, like I would have those bills previously and Kerry would look at them and she would like be so stressed out because she wasn't producing. She was behind me. She didn't have that confidence. She didn't have those skills. And she would look at it and go, fuck, this is insane. How are we going to get out of this? Right. And I'd be like, it's all right, honey. Like, don't worry. We always got it paid. And she was always like to me, Lynn, you know what? Like after I saw that happen over and over, no matter how much debt there was on the credit card and no matter, like you just paid it off. And so she built that just from going scared to then training inside of a pattern in her that Lynn's got it sorted. And I had to back myself because the worst thing that you can do when you have a lot of debt, I know we're going on a tangent, but I think this is important, is for you to get afraid and for you to listen to the outside noise. Okay. So like, you know, anytime you go in debt, if I go into debt and then I'm listening to the outside noise, I'm listening to my teams, I'm like, cut everything, cut this, cut that, don't do anymore. Let's cut spending. I'm like going, how do you think we're going to save our way to pay back this debt? Where's the money going to come from? I'm like, there's only one way out. It has to go forward, and it's actually to innovate, create new product service, and make more money. That's the only way. And if you don't, like, and that's in that place, you'll realize who has money-making skills and who doesn't. Yeah. And a lot of your team have no money-making skills, which is why they freak the fuck out.
People don't have a savings problem. They have an income problem, man. That, you know, it's not that, like, saving, I'm going to save my way to. Like that's one thing that I want to be controversial, right. But that,
Alex Cardone.
Oh, mate, that, well.
it's very
that
true.
That's an investor. Like, I know, and I'm not hacking shit on him, man, but what got him to be successful was not the tricks inside his book. It was the book that he then leveraged to then create brand, and, like, that's what's taking him to the next level, not don't buy a $5 cup of coffee and and
scream. Well, I think about it this way, because I had a discussion with Karen. I'm like, yo, hey, like, we don't want to be rich. We want to live richly. There's a difference between actually, and I think the idea, there's this idea where people have to save their way and fucking be so smart. And it's like, man, the dream, when you and I were 18, when we were out clubbing, we were like, we want to get rich because we want to have fun, right? We want to go in first class. We want to go to islands. We want to buy what we want. We don't want to think about the price. That was the dream. And somewhere along the way is that we go through all this stuff, and what generally happens, okay, is that we then become boring ass motherfuckers that just save money, but then we still have that poor mindset. I think I had this revelation with Karen. I'm like, hey, like, I'd love to make my money and I'd love to spend it too. Okay. I think there are some people out there that love to make money and they want to save it. And they are so frugal in their saving because every piece of dollar that comes back, they're like, oh, I've got to save it. It's like a little game. But what happens is they're not looking at their life. They're not looking at their family. They're not looking at being able to spend for their family. Their family don't see the fruit of all the labor they've put in. Does that make sense? Like, I could have $100 million in the bank account, but if I'm frugal because every time Kerry wants to spend, I'm thinking, oh my God, I could have invested that money. How do you think the dynamics of my relationship with Kerry would be? And I think there's that trap too. There's two extremes, right? There's the extreme where you've got the guy on the Ferrari that he shouldn't have because he's making 20 grand a month, but he's using that. And there's the other extreme where you've got the guy that's making a ton of money but doesn't live that way. And it's like, well, what's the point of this? What's the point of having this money? It's just a game. It's a stupid game that benefits nobody except yourself and your own ego. And I think I've started to just fall into the place where I'm okay with going, hey, we need to make more. So we need to spend more and we need to have more. And it's been really good because this whole fallacy of, oh, let's save money. And then, you know, by the time we're 50, we'll enjoy it. And I look at the 50-year-olds because I live in Sorrento, right? The retired people that have rich houses in like Melbourne, and then they've got holiday houses here. They come out here, I see retired people. They can't do shit. Like they're not enjoying their life. They're just walking. They're barely walking. What can you enjoy with your life? You know, they've got money, but they're not doing anything with it. And so I didn't want to go down that route where we're making money, we're saving it for a rainy day, because I have that mindset where we can produce. Yes, we're sensible, but at the same time, man, I don't want to be frugal. I don't want to live frugally. I don't want to live like, I don't know. I don't want to think, oh my God, every time we spend money, I should invest it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, man. Everything comes at a cost. So mentally and psychologically. Yeah, psychologically, when you're saying yes to that, you're saying no to opening your perspective to experiences, to your family, to different areas, whether it could be connection with your wife, yeah, with your children. And I've seen that destroy marriages where men have come to us in HBF and they've been so frugal with their money, they've been seen as a control freak from their wife, who now sees them as fucking boring, and she ups and leaves. The excitement's gone. It's like,
it's the same thing, man. Like, I remember when I was 18 as well, I'm going back to 18, 16, and I was in high school, and I'm like, I just want to get a really good body, right? I was fat. I was a chubby kid in high school, wanted to get a really good body. Why? Because I'm like, man, the guys that have really good bodies seem to like have all the fun. Like, my vision of that was, we'll be at the nightclubs, I'll be at the beach, we're having fun, we're going out for pizzas, drinks, party, et cetera, et cetera. By the time I was 24, I had a really good body, but my life was fucking boring. It was literally like, I'm going to wake up a certain time, I have to have cardio, I'm meal prepping my boxes, I went out, I wouldn't drink any alcohol, I didn't even go to parties in the end because I was like, now I need sleep. It's the complete opposite of what my dream was. And I'm like, hold on a second, this is a little fucked. So there's a distortion of reality, because what we really want is, we want, why we get into business in the first place, every man for himself, because it's like, man, like, I want that car. I want to have that life, that fun life that you imagined in the first place. And I think we have to make the goal the goal. We can't change the goalposts, because I found myself just not being fun. Yeah, boring. Yeah. Boring as fuck. So me and Kerry have this thing. We go, we work hard, but we'll play harder. And I think it's something that I have to get conditioned to, because I'm so used to working hard, but when it comes to play, I can't play for shit. Like, my standards with play is like nothing. Zero play, man. Zero fun or work. And I think at the end of my life, I think a lot back to when I'm going to die, you know, sure, I might have worked hard. Well, you know, was he fun? Was he kind? Was he generous? What do I want people to say? What do I want my kids to think about me? What do I want my grandkids to think about me? Was he fun, or was he just like a workaholic? And it was fucking David Goggins, but fucking just intense. And that's amazing. A lot of people need that. Quite a lot of people, they need fun. They need kindness. They need this other side as well, because that's the experience of life. You know, so it's, I just find myself sometimes down these rabbit holes where you listen to David is so full on that like you activate him. And then at the end, you're just like, whoa, that's just so intense. If I just keep doing this, what's the point of my life?
Hmm.
If my point of my life is to keep it going with my kids, then what do I want them to remember about me? And it's like,
that's where we're a good team, man, because I was probably all play. So we probably equalized each other. I was probably too reckless in the fun and enjoyment side of things, which helps me. But which I guess takes me to, you know what, I didn't answer the question when you said, what advice would I give? I'd probably be that. I'd be probably saying, hey, you know what, you'll never be, I'm going to do the same with Roman. Because I look at elite sport, man, and I wasted so much energy, Lynn. Like, even when you look back, boring or exciting as your life would have been, it's like that unicorn blood, man. You can work, you can do so much, you can train three times a day, you only need 4 hours of sleep. And the advice I give myself is, you will never be at this stage in your life ever again. Your life is a line, man. There's a start and an end point. And maybe when you die, it snaps up into a circle and whatever happens, happens. But right now, I see that. And it's that thing that you've taught me, which I take every day now. I don't know if you...
What was
know.
That? I taught you a lot of things, bro. But what is this thing?
No, the statement you said to me, man, was start with the end in mind. And I look at that, and I was chasing footy because I was chasing money for sure, but ego and status and fame. I'm like, hang on a minute. I'm never going to be at this stage again where I have this unicorn blood where I can wake up, recover, bounce out of bed. I've got no expenses. I'm living at home. I'm an athlete. My testosterone through the roof. What can I do now so that I can continually enjoy the next stage and have a long and fruitful life? Even though it's not guaranteed, every stage I'm living in a peak state of life. And sports, one thing I'd say, man, is fucking sport took – I said yes to sport and it took so much energy and time for me. Roman will be phenomenal. Like, look at my genes, man. Like, he'll be a freak, my knowledge, but I'm not going to push him into sport, Lynn, because I just don't believe that elite sport is the way. You know that. You laugh about it. Like, this white jock who made sport dealers while you were working in the background, getting yourself together, making heaps of money.
You and I are so opposite. Like, you and I are so opposite. So my conditioning is my parents' conditioning, which is come here. We came from Vietnam. We came from the war. We risked our lives. We grew six kids. You guys all studied to be fucking doctors so that you can have a better life than us. And I completely get that. You're the opposite, where you're like, yo, fuck the future. Let's go for now. I actually think you need both. Yeah, I genuinely think you need both. Like, you know that urge where you want to buy an X6M and you want that car and you want it like now? Yeah? You should get it now. Why? Because in 5 years, you're not going to want it anymore. And even if you get it in 5 years or 10 years, it's like, you know, what was that? What's a car that you've always wanted when you were in high school? And you thought, fuck, if I had this car, this would be amazing. But now if you buy the car and you use the car, it's no longer amazing because it would have made you feel a certain way based to your peer group back then. All right?
Yeah. And there's a car about
it. You got to have it now. You got to work hard and you got to play hard. Play hard for now and enjoy the moment now, but also work at the same time so that tomorrow's even better than now. Like that's the dichotomy between the two. And so many people get stuck in the working hard, right? Because they're worried about the future. But they spend their whole life working hard. They've never had a life. Their life is nothing. Their life existence was to literally be an AI robot. Work the fuck, make all the money, but so for what? Then you've got the people that play hard, but they can only play as hard as they work because the playing hard leads to all the chaos and disaster the next day for not looking out for tomorrow.
Cost them, yes.
The, cost, exactly. The opportunity costs, right? Yeah. And it's like, man, I want to get the number plates. Work hard, play hard. Genuinely, because that's a motto that I want to live by that I haven't done previously and something that I regret. So if I look back to, you know, building the business, what should I have done more? I should have played harder, but at the same time kept the amount of work hard. Does that make sense? Like, I should have played hard. I should have partied with Kerry, should have gone salsa dancing, should have like just gone to all these. We went to so many places, man, like before we had kids. And they were just all fucking business masterminds. I was just in the hotels. We went everywhere. We could have gone. We haven't not been clubbing together. And that's, I look back now and I think that's so sad. I think that's the saddest part.
You should be bumping and grinding a mate and having fun.
Bro, like, you know, we should be. But genuinely, like that's the idea. We went salsa. We learned a skill together. We're having sexy dancing together. Whatever the case is, we haven't even gone out for a night. That's really sad. But next month, when we go to Europe, I'm going to make that our goal.
Yeah, it's awesome. No, and I agree, man. Like, that's something I've struggled with and you've helped me with, the whole delayed gratification. Now, on the opposite, I've had zero of that, which means I've made choices which has cost me. But what you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is if you can be a producer and position yourself where you can still enjoy the now, but you know that you can create better nows in the future because of your ability to live life, you can have both.
You can't keep worrying about the future. So like, you know, but because you're not living. So the work is for the future. The work's for tomorrow, right? We put in the work today so tomorrow becomes better, easier, more prosperous. But if we keep putting in work for the next day, when do we ever get to check in? And by the time we check out, whatever, what do you want to say? It's too late. You're too old. It's not the same. Like you having a Lamborghini or fucking your X6M at 60 does not taste the same or feel the same as if you had it at 20. It's a completely different experience. At 20, you're like, oh, this is so awesome. It's so cool. At 60, you're like, yo, what are you doing, man? You're a loser. What are you doing with that car? You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know what's crazy, man? When you just said that then, I actually just felt a whole weight lift off my shoulders. It's so weird. Like, it's, you know, not to go woo-woo, but I actually felt lighter because this HPF is fucking hard work, man. Like, working with middle-aged men, so much baggage, so much, like, it's been emotionally, and I can disconnect and whatnot, but it's challenging, and we're in a period right now of innovating our product, growing. There's a fuckload of stress everywhere, and I think not giving yourself permission to enjoy life, it gets heavy. It gets fucking heavy, man. Like, it really does. And then where's the joy? You know,
Yeah.
It's not there.
I can tell you, like, if you look back at photos a couple of years ago, I can tell you, like, I had a lot more gray hairs. I was a lot more stressed out. I looked older. I sounded older. Even though I'm physically older now, like, you go back 3 years, I was torn. I was just stressed, right? And it's got to do with self. Stress kills. And when you're constantly working and grinding, it kills you. When you're playing, and I just play with the kids now and genuinely play, and it's so much fun. And so I would encourage people that not to take any opposite stance, and I would encourage people to actually understand that having a really good balance is phenomenal. So if you work hard, you're going to enjoy the fruits. Why today? Because you don't get to enjoy it tomorrow. Like, it doesn't taste the same tomorrow. So you have to enjoy a little bit of the fruit today, and then keep working hard so you run that leg room. I think that's big for you too, bro, because sometimes, like, you're not wired like me. So when I tell you to hustle down and when you go nuts, like, you'll go really hard, but it doesn't feel like good for you. Like, I've just trained myself. Like, that's how I grew up. So I'm like, whatever, man. I can, like, bro, stop being a fucking pussy and let's fucking go. And you're like, yeah, but it doesn't feel not quite right, because there's another side of you that's enjoyed the play and enjoyed the now. I think it's that other balancing act too. So, yeah, where were we? Were we not supposed to talk about some topics and shit today? We were,
but I think it's an important topic for, I think, people probably to do a personal self-assessment of where they're at. Too much work, too much play, not enough.
Yeah,
not
like
enough.
Where are you listening to people? Okay, and you got to play this out. Where are you listening to people whose advice doesn't actually make any sense for you to play this out in the future? So you might listen to the investor, and the investor's like, yo, put all your money into savings. And then, like, if you accumulate it over the next 10 years, you'll have like $1.6 million in your bank account. And I go, whoop-de-doo, like 10 years, $1.6 million. What are you going to do then? Well, essentially, if you're going to do that, I can tell you this is how it plays out. You've invested for the last 10 years, which means you've built a very strong habit. By the time you have $1.6 million, you're so ingrained into keeping on investing that all you want to do is invest. So you're no longer looking at life in itself and enjoying life. The game, the habit that you've ingrained, you're so conditioned to it that you're just going to keep investing. And sure, in the next 10 years, you'll have $8 million because of compounding interest or whatever not. But what I'm trying to tell you is what you want today, the $1.6 million, when you finally have it, you'll be a completely different person. And what I'm trying to say is, okay, taste the fruit of what you have today and work extremely hard to have both. Okay, don't be on one end or the other. Don't be the worker that saves and just spends your time as an entire robot and your entire existence is to work. Yet at the same time, don't just play so hard that all you do is play and you're not looking out for tomorrow. It's the balancing act. It's like that kind of seems to be like the sweet spot. How do you do that? God fucking knows. Like, it's a game that you got to play every day, and it's something that you have to be in tune with every day. So, Alex, you'll go through periods where we just hustle and we just work because shit's going to get done. And then we'll go through periods where we take the foot off the pedal and we'll go catch up in the Gold Coast. We'll go catch up here and we'll just actually have some fun. There's no talk about work. Like, sometimes you'll come in and you're like, well, aren't we supposed to working? And I'm like, no, bro, it's my playtime. And you're like, you're confused because you're like, oh, I thought that when I see Lynn, it's like work, right? And I'm like, nah, man, we're just hanging out, right? So I've just had to get better at that, because if I don't, then I don't bring up my family along. Like, I think as a man, if I was by myself, I could work all the fucking time. I'd be like, yo, mastermind, kids, I'm going wherever work is. As a family person, I think they give me life fulfillment experience that we have to respect. And that's what has made me appreciate and respect this.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And I try and look at those two things. You mentioned your children. I try and look at my life and go, who would I need to be to live a life that is rich and full with experiences and I can seek joy but enjoy the work? Because you're right. When you told me to get down and hustle, as you know, man, I work fucking quick and I hook in and I become obsessed with it. And like, there's resistance at first. I was changing something else. But then there's like, okay, cool. I'm fucking all in. And that's an obsession. But then also, you know, I look at, well, not only who am I becoming, but also who do I want to enjoy my time with and what do they value? That's where I'm looking at my children. I'm like, fuck, do they really want someone who can give them lots of money, give them lots of experiences, but he's a fucking sour grape? You know? And the answer is no. Of course.
The answer is no. And I think that's why I say, like, going through and navigating through this second half of life is so difficult, because it's like, yo, you can drift and you can, like, do nothing and you can be unintentional and you can just cruise by. But there's shit that's going to come at you that's unexpected. Like, your kids are going to want something from you. Your wife's going to want something from you. You're going to feel inadequate. like you're going to have in, like you're just going to think, like you're just going to start looking at other people and start feeling inadequate. And there's just, life will just pull you apart and dismantle you. Or you can be proactive, which is also very fucking hard. Like it's what I'm saying here, and take everything day by day and actually go, yo, I'm going to, like, I've got my calendar. Here's what I'm doing for work. Here's what I'm doing for play. And hopefully I can execute on what I needed to do. And I think that's something that we teach really well, or what you guys teach really well inside of HPF, is that there is fundamentally work and there is play. Like when you're working, you're the warrior. You're going to go in warrior. Like with the, it's called work. Like, it's like training and work. People don't understand what work is. People also don't know what training is. The definition to train is to train, and work is to work. It's hard. It doesn't have to be enjoyable. It can be. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't matter if it is. You just have to get it done. Work and training are these two things. When you're doing a WOD, when you're training, do you enjoy it?
No.
The worst, if you're properly training, you are literally like, you hate life in that very moment.
Dying.
You enjoy it afterwards. You get the satisfaction of you did something very hard. Same thing with work. Most people don't work. Most men don't know how to work. They don't know how to put their head down. They don't know how to actually go through shit because there's so many tools of procrastination. Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, messages, taking them off the work. And so there's this concept. It's literally just put a timer on, make a time block, have one outcome, put a timer on, block everything off. Okay. Like you have to be able to work through that. Is it hard? Sure, it is. It's the first time you do this, you're going to struggle. Just like the first time you lift weights, you're going to struggle. First time you do a WOD, you're going to struggle. But you can get better. And if you get better, if you do the work, then you have that satisfaction in knowing that you saved yourself for another day. It's a weird kind of mental. You've just done it. You've saved yourself. You avoid chaos for another day. You avoid those dirty thoughts, the thing that's going to come and dismantle you. You save that. Okay. So very, very interesting content.
This is why what you mentioned then, man, with the 1 hour is so important. We are cyclical and rhythmical creatures. You know, you can't just delay and do some mundane monotonous thing forever, and you can't just do nothing and expect it to fall in your lap. It needs to be cyclical. Where, and what I mean by that is, you may not enjoy the work, but the work it's got an end date. Like it's got to have a deadline. If it doesn't have a deadline, it doesn't get done. Yes. But you don't have to always enjoy it. Like training, actually, when you asked me that, I was thinking, I was like, you know, the only times I actually enjoy it is right at the end of a workout where I've broken through, because so many people, then they just sit here with life, everything, marriage, children, they don't go to it. When I break through that last part, especially when I used to do competitions, even though I was fucking dying, there was this fuck yeah.
Disgusting.
Like there was this yes, yes. And the reason why I had that in me, even though I was dying, was I'm the motherfucker that's part of the 1% because no one else would be. No one else would be near here. And I used to fucking love that. The last 30 seconds of water, be like, I'm motherfucking special.
When we used to do those modern man workouts.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, like we were benching 100 kilos. We're doing, I don't know.
I knew because the other guys were dying.
The other guys were dying. Like it'd be me and Alex, right? And all these other fitness coaches. Me and Alex. I'm not even supposed to be a fitness coach. I'm not a fitness coach at the time, right? But I'm going through and I'm going, right, we have all these fitness coaches and they can't keep up with us right now. Because it's actually got to do a lot with mentality. What was it? It was 100 kilo bench press, superset, like 10 of that or 8 of that, whatever. Then you got 10 pull-ups. Then you got 10 deadlifts at 140. And it was do 10 rounds and then do 10 rounds and 25 minutes at 2.5 minute rounds. That was fucked. That there's never been, but that forces you into the work. That forces you into completing the work. I want to make one other mention, because this is the dichotomy of life. A lot of guys will listen and go, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, why are you working and playing? I think there's a dichotomy. Life's very funny. Okay. Life is like this. Life is, if you enjoy the fruit of today, you'll get less fruit tomorrow. And if you work hard to plant the seeds today, you'll have more fruit tomorrow. And it's like that dichotomy of how much fruit you want to eat versus how much fruit you want to plant. It's kind of like this. The other day, we were making Ocean a drink, like a super food drink. She needed some vitamins, minerals, and etc. And her mum mixed it together and it tastes like shit, right? So we put coconut water in it, we mix it. And her mum says to her, Ocean, I want you to drink this. This is going to be good for you. Drink it, drink it, drink it. What do you think Ocean says? What do you think? Fuck no. The dichotomy of this is this. I then understand persuasion and influence. I start taking it and I go, no, mum, this is not Ocean's drink. This is too good for Ocean. I don't want to give this. This is daddy's drink. This is special potion that daddy's going to drink. And I started drinking it, like fully drinking it, like I meant it, right? But obviously I didn't mean it. But of course I needed to mean it in fact for her to take it seriously. So she's like, what the hell? This is a special drink? I start drinking halfway. She then grabs it off me. She starts drinking it all. And that's the fucking dichotomy of life there. The ironic thing is that when we tell our kids what to do, they don't listen. When we tell them what not to do, they do the thing that they're not supposed to do. right? It's the same shit with life, okay? So it's like the thing that we're supposed to do today isn't going to give us pleasure, but it's going to save us pleasure for tomorrow, right? But then if we keep doing it, there's going to be a point in time where we keep focusing on that, we will receive no pleasure whatsoever because we just focus on doing the thing. So it's that balance of getting that right. It's being able to actually just understanding that life is a fucking shit show where it's like this yin and yang. It's like it's this mirror against another mirror that's wedging up together that says, hey, like you have to figure this game out. You have to raise kids, but they're not going to listen to what you say. So go figure with that. Good luck. Raise kids and build good kids, but they won't listen to you. Okay. Like it's just, you'll see ironic and you'll see dichotomies everywhere. You'll see this thing. I'm supposed to raise a kid and they're supposed to listen to me, but they're not. And so you go, look, if I'm going to raise a kid and they're not going to listen to me, and you understand that's the rule of the game, how do you operate and work in that paradigm? And so with Kerry, she was getting upset because I was not drinking it. You know, she uses force. And I'm like, I don't want to use force. I want to use influence. So I take this and I drink because I understand through selling, the art of selling, by taking things away, by not pushing. It's the same thing with sales. If you're pushy, guess what happens? If you're needy, there's dichotomies everywhere. When you're needy, what happens? The other person goes away. When you don't need people, they all come. That's weird. Isn't that ironic?
Mm.
It's the same thing. When I tell Ocean what to do, she doesn't listen. When I say, don't do this, I'll have this instead, she wants to have it. There's crazy dichotomies everywhere in life.
Yeah, it's almost like the two sides of the same coin, isn't it? But Bob, I think what I find with a lot of people, especially the men we work with, is they get so rigid in thinking they only have to have one answer. And they don't work both sides, just like the work and play, right? So all they do is fucking work. And then the reward is something, but it's come at a cost of not reaping rewards in other areas. Or they just play the whole time. And then again, there's a reward and a cost. And I think you can choose both. You said it perfectly, man, with the fruit and then planting the seeds. Same with our children. And this is a dichotomy of life. Think about our children when they're young. When they're really young, what do they need the most? Well, they need our energy and our physical energy and presence. But what gets taken the most? Exactly that, because you don't fucking sleep. You got more mouths to feed, more people to look after. And there's always this balancing act where what you need to do is almost certainly sometimes the opposite. But it doesn't need to stay like that. It's this balancing act where you need to play both. Otherwise, why are we here? You know, and people lose.
There's one thing I want to add to that, man, and it leads on to the thing that we want to talk about. Every solution comes with new problems. And what you're going to realize is the solution that you create now to the problems that you have today create another problem. And then you find out solutions for that. And then what happens is you'll go in cycles of a circle. And it's an infinite loop. Okay, what I mean by this is we're seeing the chaos of today with people going trans and getting confused and all this shit, right? We have a lot of problems and discussions that we have today, but we didn't have these 20, 30, 40 years ago. Why not? Well, the problems that we had 20, 30, 40 years ago, let's say 100 years ago, was the problems of survival. How are we going to survive? We have poverty, we have hunger. Okay, so that's our main focus. Once we actually solve these problems, and I don't think anybody in the Western world has any like hunger issues or survival issues in regards to food. There's plenty of food, and the government's looking after you in order to give you food. Most people, we have now created another problem. We have too much food. And so most people are getting fat, right? Because now we have abundance of food. So the problem that we created was actually man-made from the fact that we didn't have any food. We came up with a solution to create more food, to create biscuits, to create long-lasting food so that we can have more food. And now we're too fat. Okay. And then we have other problems now because like we're not in war with each other. That used to be a problem. So now we created peace. And what does peace do? Peace creates a lot of thinking time for people. Now that people don't actually have to do a lot of shit and they're not focusing on working or doing or going to war or fighting, they're not present in the moment. They have a lot of time to think. What happens when you think? Well, you have a lot of time to be anxious. You have a lot of time to be depressed. We have depression and we have anxiety as a result of too much fucking thinking. Why are people thinking so much? Because they have all the time. Why do they have the time? Because we solve the problem because they're not doing the work. They're not on the fields. You know when you're farming and you're spending like 8 hours doing work, there's not a lot of depressive thoughts that come to you when you're actually doing physical labor and you're going out there and farming for 8 hours a day. You don't have a lot of time because you're in the moment. You're so fucking present. The fact that people are not present today because they're not doing the work means they have a lot of time to think. This is where a lot of anxiety, depression comes from, the space to even be anxious and depressed. Okay, there was a funny thing that I saw. I agree with this halfly. It's like, man, people in North Korea aren't depressed or anxious. Why? Because they're so focused on survival that they're so present on today. They don't have time. to be depressed. They don't have time to be anxious. It's kind of like a problem that was created by too much by too much goodness. It was a problem that created because there was just too much good in the world, right? Just like how starvation has led to us problem solving it. Now we're too fat. That's the dichotomy of life. Wherever you're at, there's just going to be a new problem based on the solution that you came up with. That's the point that I'm trying to make. You know, we have a lot of problems now with trans and like the rainbow and what they're teaching in schools because we live in such a great place. There was a quote and it said, hard times make strong men. Strong men make good times. Good times make weak men. Weak men make hard times.
Hmm.
Okay, so, you know, if you think about that, we're in the stage where we have good times and we're living in such good times now that the men are weak. Okay, because good times don't force men to become strong. So weak men, so because we have good times, we have weak men make what? Hard times.
Hard times, which I think we're transitioning.
We're in this cycle where it's like, we're going to go around and we have a whole bunch of weak men because they can be weak. You know, it's just natural. And what you're going to realize is just a ring. And that's what I realized. That was my little epiphany at night while I was talking to Karen. Like, life's just this ring where you just go around the ring. Like, you know, does that make sense? Like, I'm growing up pissed off at my parents going, hey, why weren't you nicer to me? Why did you force me to be so hard? Now that I'm here, I'm like, oh, now I'm going to give all this love to Atlas and Ocean and who knows my other kids. And then in the future, they're going to be pissed at me. And they're like, Dad, why didn't you make me more disciplined? You just gave me everything. Now I'm lazy. They're going to be pissed at me for the thing that I was trying to solve against that I was pissed at my parents for. Does that make sense? I was like, parents, why don't you love me? Why don't you cuddle me? Why don't you give me, you know, a great life? Why weren't you great parents? Now that I'm a great parent, I'm giving them a great life. I guarantee if I keep going on this trajectory where I don't enforce discipline, I don't give them a mix of that, they're going to come back full swing and they're going to complain that I wasn't disciplined. I'm like, they're like, oh, you know, your grandparents, my grandparents raised you so well, you know, your dad raised you so well and he gave you such discipline, such drive, and I don't have that. And they'll be pissed at me. They don't have that.
Mm. Crazy. You know what I love? Yeah. You're a love man, and I don't know if you remember, but you're the one who came up with it when you mentioned being the panda. I just love one of our principles in becoming the chief, which we call inside of HPF, is being able to – the chief is the man who sits in the middle who can toggle between being the Viking when he needs to. And I created this in spite of the back of you talking about being a panda when you need to for your children. And pandas are still very strong, but when you think of a panda, you think soft, cuddly, blah, blah, And I look at that, man, it's such a beautiful play. That's literally what I base my entire parenting around. And there are three core things that I instill into my children, because you're right. I don't want my children to be glorified, entitled brats. It's love. They need that. They do need that from their father as well as their mother. Love, values, that's helping them instill the spine of your family heritage. What do they stand for? And standards. How will they apply themselves in life? And I think those three important men, and I think our parents might have missed the mark a bit. My father, being Italian, who migrated from Italy when he was young, maybe as strict as yours, maybe not, but he certainly, he beat us, man. Fuck, he beat us up sometimes. Four boys and hooked into us, but he got absolutely annihilated by his father. So possibly one generation later, which would be similar to maybe your parents or your father, but very similar in ways, I think, of strictness and discipline. And then I'm like, I can't, as much as I want him, man, I love my children. I die for them and I live for them. And I do that. I live for them. But I can't just hand life to them on a platter. And there's times where I do flick the switch. I don't belt my children, but I give them the energy, the Viking and that intent.
What are your thoughts? Just quickly on that. What are your thoughts on belting your children, like hitting them, discipline, physically?
I think if you create trauma in the experience, you've missed the mark. And people might look at that subjectively. For me, trauma is a prolonged fear that extends beyond the point of why you discipline them, and also physical trauma and damage.
Yeah.
So what I do, it's quite funny actually, I call him Mr. Pinchy. So when my kids are really bad, I actually just give them a little pinch, because it's actually so easy to, you know, course correct, or just to get them to understand that, hey, I'm serious, but it doesn't really hurt them. Like, you know, you can pinch yourself. It's uncomfortable. And I'm like, hey, if you girls don't go to sleep, because mainly the girls, because they sleep in the same, hey, Mr. Pinchy's going to come in and, you know, he's going to give you a little pinch. And they're, it's so funny, man, because I always, you know, the one thing I do, I always make sure I leave the room smiling and laughing. So I give them what they need, but it never actually alters who I am. I leave the room and I just shake my head, laughing.
Bro, that's exactly what I was going to say. If the actions that you're presenting to them is a result of your inability to control yourself emotionally in that moment, it's wrong. If you can step away and go, no, these are, I'm going to use these tools because these are tools. Like if you spank them, you give them a nudge, these are boundaries and these are tools. But you have to be in control when you're using those tools. It cannot be something personal. It cannot be something because you have a power trip. It can't be because, you know, they're being a brat and you go, right, you're being a brat, so I'm going to beat you up like my dad. That's
100%.
You're emotionally spiraling out of control and you have no control over the tool. So I think
that's why they get belted. Yeah, agreed, man.
And then if you're able to step away and be stoic and not take it personally and think clearly, not be under in any emotional, just go, hey, this is better for you in the future because we have to set a boundary. And you've crossed this boundary multiple times and these are a tool that I'm going to use to bring you back in the boundaries. I've utilized all these other tools. I don't see anything wrong with it. I think people think about abuse and violence in terms of, getting beat up. You know, you hear David Goggins just getting smashed by his father or whatever the case is. And there's countless people that have abused the tools. And we go, we can't use these tools. I actually think that some sort of physical boundary is good, whether or not it's not beating them up. Like, I don't want to come across like I'm going to beat up my kids at all. I'm literally going to go, hey, I'm going to be stern. I want to say, hey, this is how I'm going to use force to create this boundary. And I know it's such an itchy topic because it can be taken so out of context. And I want to bring my context in because I'm trying to navigate through Atlas and I'm trying to go, look, I don't think I would touch ocean. I don't think I would actually touch ocean. Like there's something different and people will go, well, you're not being fair. And I go, well, look, life's not fair in itself. But there's something about a boy and a girl where I can actually physically assert a different I can be different with Atlas in the way I parent him and I'm different to him. I expect different things of him than I expect of my daughter, right? I don't know if you have that same thing or I don't know if you parent them more fairly. To me, it just doesn't make sense because they're different beings. They respond different ways. One's a boy, one's a girl. There's no trans. They're not confused about who the fuck they are. Okay, one's got a whole lot of testosterone and one wants to go rolling. One wants to get punched. One wants to like have a bit of an altercation. And the other, not so much.
Yeah, I agree, man. No, it's about the how. What are they receptive to, and what's the outcome? What's the purpose? What are we trying to achieve? Yeah. So, if the dose response or the response rate is different, which they are, I'm different with my daughters than with my son. Roman's primal; he enjoys the physical element.
I love that, bro. I get so excited about like wrestling with Atlas and beating him the fuck up, but then like you know letting him go and like hurting him a little bit, but not too much, right?
Yeah,
like I want to do that. You know,
yeah, you know what it is, man. I see it as like when we're disciplining children, it's a little nip. And what that nip represents for me, anyway, in our household, is just a redirection of energy in the situation. So it gets to the point where even if I like the kids almost laugh now when I say Mr. Pinchy, they're half giggling. But what they now understand is this is an escalated understanding of hey, daddy's told you 4 times bedtime. You know, we don't want to go there.
There are consequences.
So it actually rarely ever happens now, but with my daughters getting older, it's different. Like Roman still wears a nappy. So if he's being a naughty boy, I'll give him a tap on the bum. He won't even feel it, but the energy is a slight redirection for him to focus on the situation and adjust because he'll be pulling Lillian's hair. And that's not okay, man. Like I don't want him ripping my daughter's hair out.
There's got to be consequences. And I think if the worst consequence is being told off, then bro, like good luck. Like if that's it, if they recognize that the worst consequence is just, hey, you get told off and then it's a scream, they're like, whatever.
And they just yell. Yeah, then all they do is
yell,
man.
So, yeah, I think that it's a tool and it's got to be used wisely. Well, we were supposed to go through 3 topics for today, and what we want to do is maybe in the next episode we can do this, but I always see you sending me stuff, right? So what's all this stuff that you send me on Instagram, Reels? We want to make these discussions because there's a lot of shit that we see on TikTok, Instagram these days. I see some of the stuff, you see some of the stuff, and some of the shit's just ridiculous. Yeah. Some of the shit is the most ridiculous shit that we've seen. So what's a few ridiculous things that you've seen this week?
Yeah, a couple of crazy things, man, that I definitely want to go through. We can go through next episode. The first one is...
Let's play this. Let me play this shit, right? Hopefully the sound's on. But what is this? Talk us through this. Let's see.
It says, after a bit, a person's... It becomes moist and slippery, and the clitoris becomes hard. After a bit, a person's becomes erect, stiff, and larger.
Pastor,
sometimes a bit of clear fluid that may...
Okay, so this guy's going through, it's perfectly normal. So this is a controversial book. What is that, bro? It's a controversial book.
A children's book that children have access to in their local schools, obviously.
How old are these kids?
At this stage? Well, they'd be like our primary kids. So we're not talking 17-year-old sex ed, right? And, you know, we know that a lot of things that happen in America transfer in time over to Australia. And we've already seen that. There's a book that I've seen in Big W.
Yes.
Called The Quick Million, which is quite disgusting. It's got terms I've never even heard of before, man. I'm a 37-year-old grown man. It's in the children's section in Big W, which is quite frustrating. Only because, and I'm open to this conversation, man. Yeah,
Wait. Just on that. So this book is a book that I saw it briefly. It's a book that is educating our kids on how men have sex with other men. Like, they literally go into detail. And they call it the wieners or their willies. Boys like to have their willies sucked. And then you should, I was reading a line and I was like, boys like to have their willies sucked. The willy gets hard, it gets big. And then there's like a big no-no is coming into it, not exploding, because this is how you sexually transmit disease. And it went into that vivid detail. And then it went into like girls also like having girls. And then like there's some trends and it talked about trends. And then it talked about boys and girls together. This kind of pissed me off. It's kind of pissed off. This is one of the reasons why I'm very, very, when Ocean gets to 5, 6, we're committed to going homeschool. So we've got 2 years. I've committed to like figuring out where we're going to live and what skills we're going to give to her, because I just don't want her to be in this like society. I don't want this to be the norm. Okay. Because if this becomes a norm, where's the line? Where are we going to have the boundaries of the line? And the reasons why I think this is a really good argument is because we currently have no lines. There is no right and there's no wrong. Everything can be. Like the idea is that when we accept this shit, okay, when we accept a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man and you can be whatever the fuck you want, then it's like what do we and what we don't what don't we tolerate? What do we tolerate? Where's the line? There is no line. And when there's what happens next is now you start to go, oh, well, men can be with like 10-year-old girls. Oh, why not? Because like they're just – and what are they called? Attractive minors or some shit.
They're called MAPS, minor-attracted persons.
Minor-attracted persons, rather than being called pedophiles. Okay, and this shit pisses me off because what happens here, guys, is when we don't have a line and the line gets like blurred, and they'll start off with something like some bullshit like, oh, yeah, we can blur their lines here. And then they'll try to blur the lines here, and then they'll blur the lines here. And then suddenly you've got – you know, 10-year-old Ocean sleeping with a 40-year-old man, and like, I'll fuck shit. I will fuck shit up. Like, when that comes to it, like, see us moving towards that. And I think that's fundamentally the problem, that if we don't draw a line today, and we don't draw a line in the sand right now, and what's right, what's wrong, what do we want as functioning? And the craziest part, bro, is I go to school, I talk to people, I talk to parents, and most, if not all of the parents, don't want to talk about this out loud. Yeah, they don't want to say shit out loud, but when the cameras are off, when we're not recording, they're like, yeah, yeah, I don't want to do that, because they're so afraid of being canceled. They're so afraid of being called, you know, transphobic. They're so afraid of this shit. And it's like, it's horrible, because this is the majority of people. And what we think is that what we're conditioned to believe is that the majority of people want all this shit in our schools, and they don't.
It's not even 1%.
Bro, it's not even 1%. But it's like, if it's 1%, why is it being mainstream?
Well, I mean, depends if you want to call me the conspiracy king or not. But
so there's two things. There's two things. Where's the line? Because if we don't draw a line, then I'm telling you, like, this minor bullshit pedophiles with my daughter, your daughter, it's going to happen, because there's no line. So it's like, oh, it's okay. It'll be next year. It's just there. And then it'll be some bullshit like, oh, it's just a psychiatric thing. It's a genetic thing that these guys, so we're going to allow for this portion. And then it kind of seeps in. I can see that happening. And just the second thing is, I genuinely think with sex ed, the parents got to teach the kids about sex education. The parents actually have to have the balls, literally, right, to go, yo, come here, come see me naked. Here's my dick. Here's your dick. No one touches your dick unless you allow them to touch your dick, okay? And unless you're old enough. Here's my dick. Only I touch my dick, okay? And we got to have that conversation. The parents have to have the conversation, not the teachers. Why? Because you don't know what teachers are thinking in that time. You don't know. Can you really trust the teachers to be fucking pure in that moment? I can't even trust. Like, I wake up in the morning, bro. I'm sleeping on the bed with Ocean. I wake up with a heart on and I start to fucking feel uncomfortable. So she's my daughter, right? And this is just like absolute real talk. When we're talking about sexual activity, I don't trust anybody because we're all fucking animals. And you and I both know when it comes to sex, forget about the brain. The hormones are taking over. Okay, so I don't want to, like, two things. I think parents, we should draw a line, and parents should actually educate their own kids on sex ed. Like, what does it actually mean? Have that conversation. Why? Because, well, you're putting yourself in a sticky situation. You know what I mean? Like, who like, is my teacher trained in sexual education? Do I want their beliefs to be imparted, you know, on my kids?
Or the other possibility.
You're a conspiracy king. So what do you think's happening?
Well, the problem I have, man, is you know, free will goes hand in hand with the freedom of choice. Now, there's this Pride Month. There's all these other things around this. It's get pushed. It's getting forced onto us a lot. I see it a lot. There's another video of a Coles truck, and it's got the alphabet people's flag on the Coles truck. There's a new Ford ad, and it's so ironic. It's like how to destroy 120 years of Ford in 1 minute. And the trucks both have mud on them, and when one goes through the water and gets cleaned, it literally has the LGBTQ flag. And then it's got redefining tough, and tough is all the LGBTQ colors. And the problem I have, man, is we don't go out as a majority forcing other. You want to do that and that's your life, fantastic. That's what you believe, awesome. Good for you. Good luck with life. That's your choice. That's your free will. And I respect your right to have that choice. But what I don't respect is when that's pushed or forced onto me, onto us. Where's the last time, Lynn, you've seen a book around the family nucleus? When's the last time you've seen a book around how amazing fathers are, how amazing mothers are, children, especially in the elementary stages or primary, coming through talking about this is it? When do we have a celebrate monogamy month or celebrate married or let's celebrate parents month? And they're talking about trying to take away Mother's Day and Father's Day and call it Person's Day. And like, I see all that, man. It's not a when I talk about conspiracies and I laugh with a few with you.
What do you think's happening? Why are they trying to do this? Where are we moving towards? Like,
I think we're moving towards a weaker society, like you said. And when you look at weakness, if something's weaker, isn't it easier to control? And I don't know who's pulling the strings. It could be the government, could be other people. But when I look at it, it's not about conspiracies. It's just observing actions and outcomes. And the actions and outcomes I'm observing, Lynn, over the last 5-10 years is families are getting weaker, divorces through the roof, families disconnected, children are being mentally conditioned to think of other possibilities other than a penis is a penis and a vagina is a vagina. Why should they even be thinking about that? Why are you and me even on a podcast fucking talking about that? That is a problem. Like you said, new solutions with technology and time brings boredom and new problems. And I honestly, man, I think it's destabilizing the family and dividing and conquering, to be fair.
I mean, selfishly, the reasons why I'm talking about it is because I've got a vision. I've got a vision for the future. I've got a vision for like parents who align in the same values, who understand the man's role, the woman's role, who understand that their kids, they want to bring up their kids and they just don't want to go through this bullshit. I would like to open schools. I would like to build schools, private schools. Like, I kind of think like X-Men, Xavier College, whatever it is, like whatever the X-Men tutorial is, I want to have schools where people can come in, where families are valued, where there's women understand that they're great nurturers. I don't want guys teaching in these schools. I want to have men role models for certain activities, but the majority should be nurtured through women, and women understand, like, there are some key traditional values that simply work. And why they've worked, why we call these people go, oh, but you're too traditional. I go, no, these are values that kept us alive. Why it was actually created was because this is how tribes actually survived, by having the men hunt and the women nurture. And this is how we've actually created. And if we don't have this moving in the future, then we're not going to survive as a species. We're going to like be either one plugged into machines in the matrix and be all controlled, or number two, be genderless. So we're just like, I don't know, fucking just we don't actually recreate with each other. We just offspring springs and anybody can be genderless or whatever the case is. I would like for us to carry on the tradition into the future, because I know that at least we have a very good chance of survival, freedom, autonomy, and all of these things. My selfish thought is I want to make enough money so that we can open up schools, so that you have an alternative place to educate your children with certain values. I think right now, like, cool. Anyone that wants to do that, you can do that. Anyone that wants to, and I genuinely think that because we have such open worldwide, you know, we have the internet at our fingertips, what happens is that there's no barriers anymore. And I think generally what we need to do is the people that want to operate this way, go live with all the people that want to operate that way. And the people that want to operate traditionally and build great families should all gather around together. And the people that want to be socialists should literally go and be socialists together. And the people that want to be capitalists should go be capitalists. And I think what's happening is we're arguing because we're all mixed up and we've all got these all different ideas. And it's like, yo, why don't we just begin to separate? Because I don't want to be involved in what you're doing. So fuck, like, let me leave. Let me carry my crew. Leave us the fuck alone. And you guys go do that and let's see how that plays out. And it's not an ego thing. It's more like, yo, I just want to live my life with my values, the way I sit and see the world, and connect with people that see that and live it with them in the tribe. And I feel like because internet society, social media has become so spread, we have all these ideas. We can be plugged into the US, being plugged into London. There's no boundary anymore. What happens if we don't have any boundary? Every idea becomes an idea. And it's like, yo, I'm sure there are all good ideas, but let's just play it out. I don't want to be involved in this. I would like to build my family this way. And I would like for everyone that has similar values, that shared values, to come and join our community, right? I'd like for you, if you have, you know, you're appreciative of the trans movement and you want everyone to be trans and you want your kids to literally go through surgery if they're 10, go do that by all means. But do that and congregate with that tribe. And let's see how that plays out. And then I want all the communists who want to be communists to go off and live with the communists, and the socialists go do that too. And then just see how it plays out. And what you're going to realize, the dichotomy of this is that every solution that we're presenting has a problem. And the thing I want to leave with is, which problem are you willing to deal with? Okay, have you played out what problems you're going to have? Like, capitalism in itself has a problem, right? Socialist has problems. Communist has its own problems. Which problem do you want? Which problem do you want to live with? So, and that's what everyone should be thinking about. The trans, I don't see that playing out well. I don't see it for a couple of reasons, especially when you allow kids to take away their genitals. Like, it was the craziest thing. The craziest thing I saw was, you know, kids under 18 aren't allowed to drink. Kids under 18 aren't allowed to drive. Kids under 18 aren't allowed to enter a nightclub. Kids under 18 aren't allowed to go do the doctors and sign off on their own shit. But kids under 18 can go and do surgery and cut their dicks off. Like, it was the most backwards thing that I've ever seen. So you think they're making society weaker, men are easier to control, we're going to control it. I generally think in the future, I generally think that's the government's always trying to control us. But I genuinely think that that's whether or not they want to do it. With electric cars, they can switch off, you know, your cars. With things like Neuralink, they'll be able to control us as well. I think it makes it easier. I think for people that don't think that we're moving into that territory, it's a little bit naive. It's a little bit like, yo, if the government wants to control us and they want to switch us all off and make us all controllable for our own sakes, sure, there are some pros. Of course, there are some pros. Like, they can control. When the governments look at things, they look at what's the human population, how do we control deaths, and how much do we spend to lower the cost per human life. They're looking at these big numbers, and they're looking at us like a big computer program that they actually like get to spawn, and they're just making decisions, and they're making decisions on, let's reduce the death rate, and then they're just controlling this for the greater good. Unfortunately, that comes at losing our autonomy, our freedom, and our way of enjoying life in itself. We then become boxed in, you know, we then become, we lose autonomy. We don't have a life experience. We have an everybody is doing the same shit experience. The government, however, look at trying to optimize for things. So I don't think that they have a bad intention. I just think that they're trying to optimize for the same thing, but they're forgetting what humans really are. I think that's dangerous. Okay, like, imagine this, bro. Imagine you were in control of 1 billion people and you have the data to go, yo, like, 1 million people are dying every day because of this stupid thing. Instantly, you want to control that, right? And you're figuring out, how do I control all these things to optimize for this thing? And I think that plays out in itself. Who gets to make these decisions? I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I don't know. But I generally think there's both happening. It's just happening because it's moving towards that way. But at the same time, there has been some certain seeds that have been planted, possibly, yes, as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at the family stuff, mate, and it's hard to see that and take it for anything else other than there've been severe negative outcomes when it comes to children, stability in the household, the family nucleus. You know, you brought up some great points. Now, what's the difference between a conspiracy and the truth, mate? 6 months. No, I think I'm rubbing off on you a bit, Lynn. There's some good points you made there that I haven't thought
of. There are. But I want to just, you know, think, like, if you ran the government, what would you do? Right?
Yeah,
like, put yourself in that. Put yourself in control of a billion people and go, okay, well, yeah, here's what I would do if I'm trying to save lives, if I'm trying to, like, make things more autonomous. Like, if people are dying on the streets of cars, I'm trying to get everyone to move to electric cars and they don't drive anymore to reduce the rates, right? But there's a lot of control there that happens. There's a lot of things that I would control if I was a one-man government with a billion people under my watch. Like, I'm looking at the data, right? Unfortunately, you don't look at the ground level. You lose your way of life. There are pros and cons. What I think the solution is building our own shit. Like, at the end of the day, building our own school. Like, going, hey, I don't want to rely on this anymore. I choose to homeschool, but there's another level. It's like, okay, I choose to homeschool and then give Ocean and Atlas skills of going to music class, of going to art class, and bringing the best people in so they can actually learn proper skills of how to make money, of how to grow plants and trees and how to farm shit. Like, actual proper skills. Yeah. Like, I think, but that's at that cost. It's going to come at a cost and it's not going to be cheap. It's going to be fucking expensive to bring in the best skills because it's going to cost a shitload of money. That's just the truth. And that's also why money is important. Because if you don't have money, you don't have choice. So I don't have money. Okay. This is why money is important. You don't have money. You're sending your kids to kindergarten or school, public school, or the government pays for them. You don't have money. So government pays. So you don't get choice. Okay. You just go through the curriculum. Don't be pissed off. For the people that say, oh, I pay my taxes, it's like, yeah, but you don't really, comparatively to the big earners, right? You still pay tax, but what money allows you to do, it allows you to bring in choice. Choice of, I don't want to take them to school. I will move to a different country. I'll find the teachers. I'll pay the teachers. And we'll set up our own school the way that you want. So I think there are a lot of pissed off people. At the same time, these people are pissed off. You have no money. So therefore, you have no choice. You're just pissed off. You're just complaining. I think there's an urge to go, okay, well, why don't you build a dream, a goal, a target to make some money for an actual cause? Like, when you have purpose, you'll make more money. I think the next 5 years, me and Kerry are going, yo, we're going to – kindy's great. Like, I love kindy. They get to meet kids, a lot of play. They get to go on the playground. There's not a lot of this teaching or this indoctrinating bullshit. I think when it starts to get a little bit icky is when they turn 6, 7, 8. That's kind of like orange – okay, 9, 10, 11, that's red. Like, when you're in there by 12, 13, 14, it's game over. It's a red condition.
So it's, we like, need to start.
If I get Ocean out by 6, it gives me 3 years, then at least I can bring in the people to pay for their experience. Because so many people are worried, like, what happens if I homeschool? Where are the friends? Where are the teachers? What are they going to learn? Great. Nothing if they're going to be with you, right? But we've got to bring in the teachers. We've got to find the people to create the school. And so, my vision is to create this thing, organize it, put it together, vet out all the teachers, give them all skills to learn, and then go, who wants to come in? And then it'd be like the biggest private school ever. It's like, this is the private school, but not the bullshit private school. It's like proper private homeschooling where we actually learn skills, we teach values, we teach proper skills. So, you know, they're not learning useless shit. And then they're going to learn about life. They're going to have a lot of fun. They're going to play. And they're going to learn proper skills that's going to help them in the future.
100%.
That's the goal, bro. That's where H-School is headed as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's I'm all in on that. We need to have a button we press every time we say all in and it comes up with a big explosion or something. Yeah, it's –
All right, well, let's wrap this up because we got some shit to do. But we will see everybody on the next episode. What is there anything you'd like to leave, like one last thing for the audience before we go? The men, the children, the women.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just piggybacking off what you're saying, mate, in helping people watching and listening to this understand that you've got such limited time with your children. You need to look at what they're focusing on, where their energy lies, and understand that technology to some degree is not killing, but it's certainly inhibiting tradition and tribes. And that's the hard part. You talk about London, you talk about other parts of the world that we're buying into, but we're not even physically there. And I believe technology is a great tool that can be leveraged, like right now you're having access to this. But I think getting back to the fundamentals of what it actually means to live a life and what life you want to live with yourself and your family and aligning those people, like what you shared, Lynn, with the school idea. I'm all in on that, man, because I feel exactly the same way where I just, there's enough problems and hardship in the world. I don't want to be fucking hassled with all the other bullshit. I just want to live my life and live a life filled with joy and love.
It's really so hard being a man, providing for your children and your family, fucking making money. It's already hard trying to stay connected with your wife, being intimate, connect, fucking like aligned for the rest of her. It's really hard dealing with your kids, let alone all this other bullshit that we have to deal with. Okay, like that's the craziest part. Yeah. Well, let's wrap this up. Guys, if you enjoyed this, please share this with a friend, family member, someone that you know you find can relate or add some perspective in here. If you'd like to, comment down below from wherever you're watching this from. And we will see you on the next podcast episode. That is all in. Bye-bye, everybody.
See you guys.
Well, that wraps up another episode. And just as we wind this down, I want you to just reflect and think back through some of the golden nuggets, some of the revelations, some of the sore points, some of the things that might have hit home with you, and then just look at ways that you can apply a different set of actions to change your position, change your circumstances, change your feelings, and change the facts. These episodes are done with your best interest at heart, and there's always something we can get from that. Maybe it's not the first time, maybe it's the second time. We've had members listen to episodes 4 or 5 times, and then it finally clicks. But either way, I hope you got a lot of value out of this, and also if this is something that you really want to solidify inside of your life, repetition is the key. You've listened to it, write down your revelations, think about them, read them, speak them, believe in the changes that you will carve out in the action plan of those revelations to create change in your life, and then share that. And when you teach, you learn the second time, right? So teaching and showing this to others you love and care about is the greatest way that you can remember and make sure you consistently learn and relearn what is it's true and what is it is important to you in your heart. Take care. Have an amazing day, night, weekday, weekend, and I'll see you for another one soon. Cheers.